Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there was a lot of it made. There was a lot of it made last night, and let's get right to it. Some very good news. I want to break down some of the election results. You already know what they are. I'm going to go over them again. Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet. Judge Janet is the Democratic Party endorsed candidate. She is the endorsed candidate of any thinking moderate, Republican, independent, or anyone else. She got 46% of the vote. 46% of the vote. Coming in second was Dan Kelly. Dan Kelly, he got 24% of the vote. He is the Trumper who traveled the state with Gableman. Well, Gableman spent more than $2 million squandering taxpayer dollars looking for fraud that didn't exist. And Kelly was his wingman, went around, they talked to various Republican Party meetings, that kind of thing. Janet Doro came in third, out of the running, 22%, and Everett Mitchell got 7%. Now, let me break that down and then talk a little bit about Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly, because they will face each other 6 weeks from yesterday on April 4th in the general election, and one of them will win and be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court for 10 years. Now, first of all, Janet Protasiewicz got 46%, and Kelly and Doro together got 46%, 24 and 22. But that's rounding. In fact, Janet Protasiewicz got about 4,000 more votes than Kelly and Doro combined. Additionally, Everett Mitchell, his 7%, came out to roughly about 70,000 votes. And so, assuming that the people who voted for Everett Mitchell will vote for Janet Protasiewicz if they vote at all, she got that. That means that the Democratic side in this thing got about 53% of the vote. That is substantial. That's a clear indication of the voters in the state. When I say the Democratic side, Janet Protasiewicz is not running as a Democrat. It's a nonpartisan race. Kelly, when he ran in 2020 and was beaten, he was on the Supreme Court for a couple of years because Scott Walker appointed him. He never won a race. And he was soundly beaten in 2020. He ran his race back then at a Republican headquarters in Dane County. Let me tell you what the issues are. It's very, very simple. And let me tell you what Janet and Kelly would do, and then something about Kelly. On redistricting, that's the number one issue, in my view, redistricting. Janet Protasiewicz has said, the maps are rigged. The maps are rigged. And we are not going to put up with that. The day after I am sworn in, if somebody brings a redistricting lawsuit, we will have fair maps. Hey, Iowa has fair maps. I mean, there are a lot of states, including Republican states, that have fair maps. Why don't we? If we did, Democrats would have at least 50% of the legislature and probably the speakership. The second thing that Janet Protasiewicz stands for is holding the 1849 statute either unconstitutional or invalid as applied today. 1849, women couldn't vote. 19th century science. This is early 19th century science, not even late 19th century science. I'm not even talking Louis Pasteur, for Pete's sake. Outlawed abortion without any exceptions for rape or incest. Janet Protasiewicz has said, is 174 years old, on early 19th century science, women could not vote for the legislature that passed it. And Janet Protasiewicz has made it very clear, very, very clear that her values are that that kind of prohibition is unconstitutional. The third thing, there will be a lawsuit in front of our Supreme Court in 2024 to certify whoever wins the Wisconsin primary. Janet Protasiewicz has made it clear that she will vote for whoever wins the Wisconsin primary. I should say general election. The primary is the election where they'll be nominated. The general election is the election in which the people of this state will speak about who should be president. Janet Protasiewicz, who was won by a Republican, she'll certify him or her. Democrat, the same thing. Kelly is 180 degrees the opposite. Kelly has already said that if there's a redistricting suit, he will dismiss it because it's a, quote, political issue, end quote. A political issue, end quote. This is Kelly. On the 1849 statute, he's silent, said, I'm not going to tell you how I would rule, but he is supported by every group in this state that is pushing the 1849 statute. And then when it comes to who would he certify in 2024, in the presidential election in Wisconsin, his principal supporter is Rebecca Grassley Bradley, the most right-wing of the Republican Supreme Court judges, who voted not to certify Joe Biden. That gives you an idea. Kelly said that he would not endorse Doro if she won. Doro, however, just came out and endorsed Kelly. And she did it, I think, to keep her powder dry and possibly run again in the future. Okay, we're going to go to the lines briefly, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit something about Janet Protasiewicz and Kelly and their backgrounds. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Andy of Beaver Dam?
Well, Matt, you stole my thunder. I thought it was interesting that Judge Girl, upon conceding, said she would support and yet he said he wouldn't touch her if she, he wouldn't endorse her if she would have won. So I guess you've answered that question, that she wants to stay credible within the confines of things to have, you know, for the future. But
yeah, she wants to run again. Really? She wants to run again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, no. And you're absolutely right. And Kelly is supported by this guy, tarantula donor, black, dark money out of Illinois, this Uline guy.
Uline guy.
Unlimited
yeah.
money, practically. You are going to see nothing but slime against Janet Protasiewicz and then lying about Kelly on these ads that somehow, you know, he's a conservative and that he believes in the rule of law. Kelly believes in doing everything he can to crush the Democratic Party and crush any kind of opposition to what he believes. So you don't want Kelly. Thanks a lot for calling in, Andy. Appreciate it. Now, let me tell you something about these two candidates. Janet Protasiewicz served well over 20 years as a prosecutor in the Milwaukee County DA's office, assistant prosecutor. She prosecuted murders, sexual assaults, cases where victims were horribly treated, cases where witnesses were threatened. There is nobody that knows criminal law better in this state right now, including the faculty at the law schools, believe me, than Janet Protasiewicz, number one. Number two, she was a very firm but fair prosecutor. Now she's a two-term judge. There is nobody on this court, and I do not know of anybody in the history of the state of Wisconsin on the Supreme Court who had more criminal law, prosecutorial, online experience than she. She's an excellent, excellent judge. She would immediately vote for fair maps, and 4-3, we'd have fair maps. She would immediately vote the minute it came before her. The 1849 statute is unconstitutional. And it can't be applied, cannot be applied in 2023. And she would definitely, definitely certify whoever wins the presidential election in 2024. Here's the thing about Kelly. Talked about Kelly. Last time, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Kelly. First of all, he was paid $120,000 by the Republican Party, state and national, to advise on fake electors. Andrew Hitt, who was a fake elector, former chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, testified to the January 6th committee about all of this. He got $40,000 of that $120,000 after he'd announced for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He got his last payment in December, 2 months ago, advising for his work. He was listed as special counsel to the Republican Party. He himself said in his ethics disclosure that he's a spokesman for the National Republican Party. I told you he ran his 2020 campaign out of the Republican headquarters in Dane County. And Andrew Hitt, a fake elector who, for some reason, none of these fake electors have been what? Prosecuted by Josh Call and Merrick Garland. When are we going to get around to it, guys? Andrew Hitt said that he consulted primarily with Kelly on the fake elector issue. Now, I don't know what more to say about this. This guy is going to decide what? He's going to decide on fair maps. He's already said it's a political issue. He'll vote to dismiss that case. He's already said it. He said it in plain English. The second thing is, do you really think on all of that, he's going to vote to certify a Democrat in 2024 if they win? And on the 1849 statute, he won't say what he's going to do. And he is endorsed by every group in the state that wants to enforce the 1849 statute. I mean, this is putting it together in very simple Lego blocks. That is the stark contrast. We're coming up to a break. I see you on the line. Do not hang up. It's going to be a very, very brief break. We're going to get back right after the break. We're going to go right to the lines, talk about this some more. Then we're going to talk about the election in the 8th Senate District and a surprise that I want to talk about in an aldermanic race in Milwaukee. 844-967-2789. Back right after the break.
Gotta cut you down, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right to the lines. Dave of Mequon, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dave?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Really quickly, you know who won yesterday was the Uline family. You just mentioned about the money that went to Kelly, but a lot of people don't realize the other part of the Uline family actually is progressive. It's like a fight between the family. And I would just point out to the article, it was in The Guardian, which is a liberal news site, and they mentioned about the Supreme Court race. And basically, that the Uline family is calling the shots in our state. And it's sad because they're both bought out as far as that's concerned, according to the article. And I just thought I should point that out to you. And they got their wealth really actually way back when, according to the article, when it was part of the Joseph Schlitz. They're basically, when the brewing company first, started in Milwaukee. So I thought I'd just pass a little tidbit of information along because we always talk about, political money and politics, and Tom from LA
right.
is always Dave, called about that. Citizens
yeah,
United.
Dave, I read the article, and there's one fact I think that I'd add to what you just said, which is a very material fact. The Uline's in Illinois. That's they have the Uline company. Yeah, he's a great grandson, I think, of August Uline. Is one of the original people who inherited what turned out to be the Schlitz fortune. Right. The other E-line you're talking about is Lined E-line, L-Y-N-D-E. I know Lined E-line. She's a fine person. And she is leans more to the Democratic side. But here is the pertinent fact in that article that has to be added. First of all, Uline Eline, the guy in Illinois, put $2.4 million into this race for Kelly. Mm-hmm. He's put $70 million in the past in for Republicans in general. Lined Eline put in $200,000. Mm-hmm. So you can say what you want about the Eline family, but it is $2.4 million that controls, not $200,000. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I want to go on to another race, and that is the 8th Senate District in Milwaukee area. It's northern suburbs and exurbs of Milwaukee. And it's the North Shore, but it's Ozaukee County, Washington County, some Waukesha County. Our candidate, the Democratic candidate, is Jody Habush-Sinikin, who's terrific. I know her personally, and she is a lawyer, a very talented lawyer, an environmental lawyer. She's a mom. She's a mother of four kids, has a great family, great husband. Very eager to serve in the state Senate. There was a dog's breakfast in the Republican primary of various candidates, and the guy that managed to squeak up to the top in the primary was Dan Knodel, K-N-O-D-L. Now, Dan Knodel is a colorless political servile hack. He is a guy that Voss endorsed, that this Dewey Strobel endorsed, all of the hacks who were in the legislature only because of gerrymandering. If we had 50-50 seats all through the state, there isn't a single Republican in there who could be in the legislature. People would see them and they would scream with terror and run the other way. And I'll be honest with you, there are very few Democrats who would be in either. A lot of them are in 80% Democratic districts because of redistricting. And if they had to go 50-50, they'd be toast too. This would be a good thing for the whole state. People in 50-50 type districts who had to really, really be statesmen. So this is going to be a race between Dan Knodel and Jody Habush-Sinikin. Jody Habush-Sinikin, I can attest, I do know her personally. I know her work. It's terrific. And a lot of support. And remember, Deb Andraca, who's a member of the Assembly, is in one of the seats that's in the state Senate district. So people are beginning to realize that they don't want Republican extremism. And I got to tell you something else. You know, the guys behind Kelly, this Uline from Illinois, the dark money guy, they always pose it. They even put ads on this radio station. They put ads right while I'm talking practically. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. The fact of the matter is, this is not a fight between a conservative and a liberal in the Supreme Court or anywhere else, including the 8th Senate district. It's a fight between American democracy and commie government. The Republican Party has been penetrated by fascism, in my view. And I'm talking obviously about people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Gates and crooked Donald Trump and lying Mike Pompeo and the rest of them. But it seeps down. They all suck up to these people. Knodel, for instance, took the position that Biden should not be certified in Wisconsin. One of the people that signed on asking Pence to not certify him, even though Pence had no ability not to certify him. This is what happened. We have got to have Jody Habush-Sinikin. And finally, I want to give you a little bit of a welcome surprise. First aldermanic district in Milwaukee, the number one candidate of the final two, Andrea Pratt, P-R-A-T-T. Andrea Pratt is Marvin Pratt's daughter. Marvin Pratt is a guy who is a very fine mayor of Milwaukee, and he was an acting county executive for a while. A school's named after him. Andrea Pratt is one of the most qualified candidates for the aldermanic position of anybody I've seen in a long time. She worked for the Milwaukee Public Schools, the Housing Authority of Milwaukee. She is a future leader on the Common Council in Milwaukee. So for those of my friends out there who are listening anywhere in the Milwaukee area, and especially if you are inclined to contribute, go online. Andrea Pratt, P-R-A-T-T, first aldermanic district in Milwaukee. And she is worthy of your support. She is my support. And she is absolutely terrific. And it'll be great to see her on the Common Council. So there you have it. There you have the skinny on the Supreme Court race, the 8th Senate district to the north of Milwaukee. in the suburbs and exurbs in the First Aldermanic District in Milwaukee. Going to a quick break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Mifflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A couple of pieces of good news, and then I want to talk about an issue that I think is very important and disturbing. The good news is that we have another Democratic member of the House of Representatives, Jennifer McClellan. Democrat Jennifer McClellan was just elected in Virginia in a special election. She won 68% to 32%. This is a seat that had been occupied by a Democrat, and unfortunately he passed away in a special election, and the Democrat successor won, Democratic candidate Jennifer McClellan. So now we're back up, I think, to 213, I think it is, 212 or 213, and we're at full strength. Another piece of good news is out in Montana, John Tester is the incumbent Democrat. It's very, very hard to win statewide as a Democrat in Montana. John Tester did it. He's a rancher. If you ever seen him, I kind of like the guy. He's kind of a beefy guy with a crew cut, and very, very, he's an honest guy, and he's very, very good, very strong. He might be a good guy on a ticket in the future, the Democratic Party as vice president. He's a very, very good guy. In any event, he's running for re-election. Why is that important? Well, it's important because the Democrats are defending almost twice as many seats in the 2024 elections as the Republicans. And some of them are very tough seats. The Manchin seat, the Sinema seat, Ruben Gallego is running for that in Arizona. But you get the picture. I mean, we have some seats that both Arizona, they say it's a purple state, but right now, it's a tough state. West Virginia is a very tough state. Manchin only won by 3 points last time. Montana is a tough state. There are all these tough states. So one little piece of good news, John Tester is running for re-election, and he's sending out tweets and he's sending out text explaining that. And if you're inclined to contribute to him, that would be a good contribution because he is a very good guy. And he'll undoubtedly have some Trump type out there who will do his best to degrade the United States like Trump has done. Another piece of, I think, good news, and I'm very glad to see him speak out, as Hakeem Jeffries. He's the new minority leader of the House of Representatives, head of the Democrats. He would be the speaker if we ever got a majority. And I think he's a solid guy. And he came out and he blasted Kevin McCarthy, the speaker, for giving about, 40,000 hours of surveillance footage of the January 6th insurrection and on either end of it to Tucker Carlson. Hakeem Jeffries said that giving him that and him only, exclusively to Tucker Carlson, exclusively was, quote, an egregious security breach, end quote. That's very true, because apparently Tucker Carlson and the Fox people, they haven't learned their lesson from the Dominion lawsuit. They're being sued for $1.3 million. Tucker Carlson, as you know, behind the scenes was joking about what a lie and a crock it was that there was any kind of fraud in the election. And then he went on the air and said there was, and the Dominion's machines were no good. The guy lies for a living. Tucker Carlson, lying Tucker Carlson. Well, his staff is going through that footage, looking to cherry pick and misleadingly juxtapose things and then put on a montage of some sort. And Hakeem Jeffries said the obvious. This is an egregious security breach. I'll say a couple of things. One of them is, why didn't anybody go to court to stop it? It's because Kevin McCarthy turned it over before anybody knew he was going to do it. Secondly, the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court might not have stopped them, probably wouldn't have stopped them. That's why we need them off the Supreme Court. They're delegitimizing the Supreme Court. And the other thing is, at the very least, everybody had Freedom of Information Act requests in for all of this stuff. And you give it to the one guy who has demonstrably lied on the air when behind the scenes in emails and texts and conversations, he said he knew it was false, and you're giving it only to him, and you're not giving it to the New York Times, the Washington Post, AP, the Wall Street Journal. You're not giving it to them. ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, you're not giving it to them. Shouldn't have been given at all to journalists while this investigation is going on. It's an egregious security breach, and Hakeem Jeffries is correct. But if you're going to do it, and you give it to the one guy that you're trying to suck up to, because everybody knows Kevin McCarthy is weak. And Tucker Carlson's been very, very critical of him in the past. And this is a way to suck up to the media. And it's wrong. Very wrong. Now, I want to talk about an issue that came up that concerns me a great deal. And I'd like to see them put a stop to it. One of the networks went to the forewoman of the Atlanta grand jury. Her name was Emily Kors, K-O-H-R-S. Her name was just disclosed. Said they want to interview her about the grand jury proceeding. Now, know something about the grand jury proceeding. Grand juries operate in secret. They are told by the judge, don't discuss your deliberations. If you do, it's a contempt. You can go to jail. Georgia has an odd grand jury procedure. They have what's called an advisory grand jury, which is what this one was, which doesn't issue an indictment. It makes recommendations. And then if the DA believes that she's going to rely on what this advisory jury did, she goes to another grand jury and they look at it all over again. Then they issue the indictment. So this is only the advisory. For this Emily Kors, on this interview, was gushing like a high school girl talking to a rock star. It was her 15 minutes of fame. It was disgusting. The network should not go to vulnerable people who are stupid as hell, and they fall for this, because what she did, in my view, was a contempt of what her obligations were as a grand jury forewoman. So Donald Trump's already made something of this. Today he put out a statement. He said she's going on a media tour. This corrupts the whole thing. And this is what happened. And then I'm going to tell you what I think we should do about it. So she gave an interview and she said, well, we recommended indictments against a bunch of individuals. Now, yes, it's true that the grand jury report that came out, a redacted version, said some of that in the written description without saying who the individuals were. But it did not go into the detail that Emily Kors did in this interview. The interviewer asked her, what do you think about Lindsey Graham? Oh, I like Lindsey Graham. He was terrific. She's gushing. She's a 15-year-old girl talking to Paul McCartney or something. What is this? What do you think about Giuliani? Oh, he thought very deeply before he answered. I thought he was telling the truth. This is the internal grand jury that is supposed to be secret. She gushed. It was very sad. She rolled her eyes. What, she's auditioning for a part in a film or something? It was terrible. It was degrading. It was degrading, and Trump is using it right now to undermine that grand jury, which was investigating him for election interference in Georgia. And then they said, well, did you indict Trump, and who are you going to indict? And she sort of smirked and rolled her eyes. Well, I can't say. Here is what normally you would do. Then here's the downside. I see the lines. You're on the lines. I'll get right to you in a second. What she did is a contempt, in my opinion. She should be brought in before the judge and given a jail sentence. Now, she is a gushing teenage type. She's 30 years old, but she looks like they just plucked her right out of somewhere. 10 days. You stick her in for 10 days in an orange jumpsuit and say, never do that again. You've got to send a message to other grand jurors. You can't have this. It basically taints the entire grand jury. Can you do something about the media that did it? Well, I've recommended in the past, I've had a session, well, I'll say this again, with Tucker Carlson, for instance. At what point can he be arrested for treason? At what point can he be executed? And here's the law on that. Right now, he can't be either because we don't have a declaration of war with Russia. If we had a declaration of war with Russia, he would be arrested for treason, as Axis Sally and Tokyo Rose would have, and Ezra Pound. Now, if it happened in a time where we were taking casualties and it provided material support to the enemy, he'd be executed. We did that with some Nazis in the early 40s. But the animal continues to support Putin, and I'm giving him an example as a bad journalist. The network that interviewed Emily Kors is not a bad network, but what they did was wrong. I do not think that you should go to vulnerable people who are gushing and trying to get on the air for their 15 minutes of fame. And this is what you get. And I think the way to do it now, the problem is you throw in jail for 10 days. The Republicans make a big deal of it. They say that the grand jury was no good. Trump's already saying that anyway. This gal screwed it up really bad. And the idiot that interviewed her should not be celebrated for having done something great journalistically. Going to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling us reminded, eh, Jean.
A lot of good news and then some not so good news. so we can only build on the good news. Hey, you know, that giving that information to Tucker Carlson, you know, really and truly, these guys really need to be investigated, you know, in aiding and abetting the attack on our Capitol, the seditious conspiracy. In addition to that, what about terrorism? Every time we have to see this kind of crap, it causes alarm, it causes nightmares. You know, the way that Fox has lied and pulled their people in and haven't even, you know, talked about their legal situation with all of the emails they had when they were involved and knew that Trump was lying, you know, about the elections. And in addition to this, we've made a lot of headlines. Trump ally with ties to fake elector scheme advances in Wisconsin. There's a lot of that. People should, you know, go to YouTube and see some of those things. And they go into the background of Kelly. And it's amazing all the stuff they got on that guy that half of the people in the state of Wisconsin don't know. Anyway, thank you very much, Matt. And I'm really excited about Janet Protasiewicz. That is exciting. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jeannie. And actually, let me get back to the victory of Janet Protasiewicz in that election. Remember, she got 46% of the vote, and she got a few more votes than Doro and Kelly combined. And then if you add on it Mitchell's votes, she had quite a haul. But here's the critical thing, and this is interrelated to the 8th Senate District. If this Knodel wins the 8th Senate District outside of Milwaukee, the Senate has a 2/3 majority and they can impeach. And if they put in articles of impeachment against the governor, Evers, against the attorney general, Call, against anybody in the cabinet, and this is not subject to veto by Evers, they can impeach him and remove him from office. That would be such a naked power play by a gerrymandered legislature. The Supreme Court could overturn it. But if Kelly is on the Supreme Court, they won't overturn it. They can simply get rid of the last election that Evers won by impeachment. If Janet Protasiewicz is on that court, guess what? They won't try it. And if they did try it, that would be stopped in an instant. So right now it's a gerrymandered Senate district. The 8th Senate district is gerrymandered. I think that Jody Habersinikin can win, but what if she doesn't? What if Knodel wins? You've got to have Janet Protasiewicz on the Supreme Court. If you have Kelly, I'm going to tell you this. It's like saying, it doesn't matter if there's a gubernatorial election. fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. They will have succeeded. They will have succeeded in overcoming democracy through impeachment and gerrymandering. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going right to the lines. Do not hang up. I'm going to take you in order. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Joe?
We're drawing attention to the situation of Fox News / Tucker Carlson receiving this 41,000 hours of footage from the January 6th situation. I think it can't be said enough, two points, and you've really touched on them both, but I'll say it again. Number one is how fascistic it is that one news organization gets access to footage that was, it belongs to the American public. It belongs to the American public, and one news organization, so-called news organization, is getting access to it. This is so wrong on so many fronts. But I would return to the question of security, and people have raised this, and boy, I was thinking about this. We have no idea if they're going to be releasing information about surveillance cameras, offices. This could be, as Jamie Raskin said, this could be, he could put out, Tucker Carlson and his people could put out a roadmap on how to do the insurrection without any bother the next time they do the insurrection. That is what the access to this footage allows them. And the group that's going to be suffering from this the most, certainly the legislators, but the group that's going to be suffering the most are the Capitol Police, who went through hell on January 6th. So here we are putting them at risk again for no reason at all, simply to satisfy for political maneuvers. I mean, if I were a Capitol Police officer, I would be furious about not knowing who's getting access to this. It's security. You know what it is like, Matt. It's very, very important that details are not released about this. Anyway, I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on this some more. I know you spoke of it in the previous segment, but to me, the security issue and then offering a roadmap for the next January 6th type insurrection, I find just heinous and very, very upsetting. And it seems as though we just haven't had the proper response to it of outrage and fear about what this might portend. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you, Joe. That's well said, as always. And let me build on that before we go to the next caller. I not only share your concern, but this is not just the next insurrection. Russian TV gets Tucker Carlson stuff. He is frequently, for a while, every day, his broadcasts were on Russian state TV. ISIS watches this. Other people watch this. When you give somebody like that, that should be classified. I mean, it really should be classified. And it's the equivalent of, and there's a lot of stuff that's classified that isn't even as important as this. When you give Tucker Carlson, who is a proven liar, I mean, this is the guy, there are background tweets and background texts where he's making jokes and about how absurd it is and insane it is, and then goes on the air and says that the Dominion machines are no good. That got broadcast on Russian state TV. Whatever he does with this will be broadcast, but more importantly, there are no restrictions on what he can do with this. What if he simply uploads this and send it to a, quote, fellow journalist, end quote, in Russia, not to Putin, but a, quote, fellow journalist, end quote, and a Putin supporter? Very quickly, you are going to have people in the Kremlin and, quite frankly, terrorists taking a look at this and deciding where the vulnerable points are, where which offices are, what's lightly guarded, what isn't guarded. It is a significant security breach. It is treason. Kevin McCarthy committed treason. Thank you very much for calling, Joe. Two more callers. We're going to squeeze you both in. First of all, Stephanie from Madison, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind today, Stephanie? Stephanie from Madison. Okay, when we can get back to Stephanie, we'll go to Wisco Paul till we hear from Stephanie. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling.
Yes, we have Stephanie.
Stephanie, thank you. What's on your mind today, Stephanie?
I wanted to mention that I read, I believe it was in the Daily Beast, that the judge gave this Emily, whatever her name was, they had limited permission to speak to the press or to whomever they could speak publicly, but they were not supposed to talk about specifically about the deliberations. So I was, you know, and I the things that you mentioned, her saying, you know, were quoted in this article, that she was just kind of being all chit-chatty. And I'm wondering if you can address that issue, Matt. By the way, I really enjoy you as a host. I enjoy your analysis and your comments and your knowledge and your long involvement in the community and in politics.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Yeah, and I hope the judge does and do it, because I'll tell you what, she was saying that she thought Giuliani and Lindsey Graham were telling the truth. She's not supposed to say that. Thank you for calling. We have two more callers. I got to squeeze you in 2 minutes, so make it quick. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. Yeah, I am also addicted to your show. Thank you, Joe. It never ends with the mega crowd. It just never ends. It's one thing right after the other. And this impeachment powers of the GOP that just elevated the Supreme Court race to probably one of the most crucial one in my lifetime. And I'll just end with that. Thanks for the information today, by the way.
Thank you, Paul. And Janet Protasewicz, Jake of Eureka, California, my friend, you're the last caller. What's your mind, Jake?
Yeah, I'd just like to hear if there's an update on Barry Loudermilk, the Republican congressman from Georgia who got caught leading reconnaissance tours of traitors and rioters forced January 6th. We all saw him on tape, you know, leading those rioters and showing them where the secret offices were. So when is Barry Loudermilk going to go on trial for treason?
Yeah, I think that's right. But the thing is, and you made the point, everybody else made, Joe made the point, now there's 40-some-odd thousand hours of footage that's going to be reviewed, not just by Fox News, who do not have security clearances, but presumably in the Kremlin and anywhere else. And why are we giving this roadmap to how to get around our Capitol? You know, we have senators, we have congressmen, we have staff, we have police, and the police are frankly under-supported. They're under-supported. You can't have a cop. You know, they have cameras looking at the congressional leaders' homes, and Nancy Pelosi's husband's attacked by a hammer. A guy beats it in. Nobody's even looking at the. They don't have enough people to look at all the cameras, even, much less walk the halls. Why are we giving this information out? And Jamie Raskin and Hakeem Jeffries are correct. This is a security breach, and it is treason. Thanks a lot for calling in, Jake. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn, Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.